Hello.
Hello.
You are listening to Stirring the Pot podcast and live radio show on KVSH LP, Vashon Island, Washington. Hi, everybody. I'm Linda Nygaard, and I'll be your host today, along with my co-host, Celine Demir. Hi,
Hello,
Celine.
Hello, my dear.
Lovely to see you.
Good to see
and
you.
Our trusty engineer, Mr. Truman O'Brien.
So sorry. I got the wrong tape.
To start with, is it going to show up? That's fine.
It's okay.
That's fine.
The views and opinions, you know, don't really
count.
Well,
sometimes the opinions get pretty strong here, and we have to make sure that nobody thinks it's anybody's fault that we said that. Yeah. So it's a beautiful autumn day here on Vashon Island. And for those of you who don't know where Vashon Island is, it sits in Puget Sound. And we have Seattle to the east and Tacoma to the south.
Yes.
And we live in the perfect place between the two of them.
Mm-hmm. We're so lucky.
We have a really great show today. One of the first things I wanted to say is today marks the one-year anniversary of Celine joining the show.
Woo-woo!
Yeah, it's been a whole year. It went really fast. Yeah, it went really fast, didn't it? I remember that first day you were pretty nervous.
Oh, I was. I was very nervous.
Yeah, you were like for 2 weeks ahead of time. But it's great having you. I love having you as
a
co-host.
You. Thank you so much.
We always find lots of fun things to talk about.
Yeah. It's fun.
It is fun and it's informative. I think, you know, I learn something every time we're on.
Me too.
You know?
Me too.
That's an interesting thing. For a radio host to just keep learning and learning, you know, but I love it that I learn things from you. Also, today is Veterans Day, November 11th.
And we have a lovely veteran in our studio today.
We do. Truman is a veteran, that's for sure. Yes.
Thank you, Truman, for your
service. Thank you. I'd like to give a nod out to my grandpa as well, who fought in World War I.
Oh, wow.
And I have his, I used to have his photograph in his uniform that was taken in Paris when he was just fresh to France. But I gave it to my son who absolutely loves his great grandpa, who's gone now, of course. But my son has it framed on his wall. Oh. It's a beautiful photograph. Anyway, you know, he fought in the trenches and I have his diary. And his diary that he carried, it's a little pocket diary, and it leather-bound little thing, and he hand-wrote it, carried it in his pocket during his tenure in France. And there are many notes in there about having slept in shell holes and walking in ankle-deep mud, and rations were very scarce and hard.
Oh,
and one of the things he was very grateful for was Thanksgiving dinner, which we're coming up to very shortly, and he said because it had meat in it, and even though it was mutton, it was meat, and they had mutton and hardtack for Thanksgiving dinner with a shot of brandy at the end for dessert, and that just made him very happy, you know, those very simple little things. And then there was one scene in there that I loved, and it sort of describes how the whole thing must have felt, but they were a distance away from what he termed as a field of ripe grain. It was very dark colored and they could see it in the sun. And he thought how beautiful that was because he came from farming land in Wisconsin, you know? And the closer they got, the different it started looking, and it was different. And then they got up close and he found that it was huge rolls of rusted barbed wire that the Huns had put up to prevent the Americans from advancing. So that was a big disappointment to him. But anyway, my dad served in the Army Air Corps before there was an Air Force. So we have many veterans on Vashon, and I just think they fought the good fight and did the good work for all of us.
Thank you so much for everyone who served. We're
so
grateful.
On to some cooking, you know. They didn't do much of that during the war. I mean, they did a lot of it, but the food was hard to find. What was food like when you were in Vietnam?
I had kind of an interesting situation in that two things. We didn't have a mess hall where I was. We had a cost of living allowance.
Yeah.
And that cost of living allowance allowed us to buy our own food.
Oh.
And so I had on the economy quite a bit, you know, the local uh-huh. stuff. And, but there was also a place where the, believe it or not, I think it was a CIA place.
Yeah.
But we used to eat there and the food was incredible.
Was it good?
Mm. There were a couple of Vietnamese cooks along with the Army cooks, and they used to go out and buy the best stuff.
Oh, nice.
So I ate pretty darn well.
Oh, well, I'm happy to hear that.
Yeah.
Very happy to hear that.
It's That's usually not the story. Yeah.
I know. Yeah. People hate me. You know, my other veterans hate me.
You've been lucky all your life, Truman. You have been. So, Celine and I were talking last week about how this is the season of cozy cooking.
Mm-hmm.
And we've just really moved. We've slid right into the soups and the stews.
Sure did.
And, you know, it's actually my favorite time of year. Mm-hmm. I love braising and stewing and souping and that kind of thing. And community.
Mm-hmm. You
know? I was just going to suggest that we'd be thinking now during this time that we're in of having our friends in and doing things. And, you know, I'm a great proponent of that. I talk about it a lot. People are probably sick of hearing about it, but I need to say I had a company for breakfast on Sunday, just two girlfriends. And I just decided, you know, we need to have breakfast, but I really don't feel like doing a bunch of fuss, you know? So I made some pancakes and I made some scrambled eggs, and I had some frozen raspberries. I made a little compote out of that, and we had lots of black coffee, and that was it. That's all I did.
That sounds wonderful.
We sat at the breakfast table for 2.5 hours, and we ate, and we talked. Oh, and of course, fresh maple syrup. I mean, you know, maple syrup.
I mean, you can't have it without.
Yeah. And we laughed, and we talked. We didn't talk politics. We didn't talk stressful subjects at all. We just talked something about community, and we had some personal stories to tell. And after they left, it was as if they were still in my home, because the energy stays and you feel really good. Of course, I had to do the dishes. They didn't help with that, but that's all right.
Friends.
But I heard from both of them afterward about how wonderful they felt and what a good way it was to start a Sunday. And they could go home and do the things that they needed to do now. And it just offered a little break. And I just am so into the simplicity of community and cooking that I want to encourage listeners, you know, put some toast. I've even had people for toast and coffee, you know, put some toast in the toaster and slice up an orange and have a friend over for coffee.
And there's nothing wrong with that.
So pleasurable.
So wonderful.
Loving it. What have you been doing, Miss Celine?
Oh, you know, it's the season. So I've been baking and making lots of soup, trying different recipes.
Yeah.
So it's been kind of good.
Yeah.
I'm trying, when it gets a little cold, I don't do a lot of like weekend trips and anything like that. So I try to stay at home. So when I stay home, I like to bake and cook. So a couple weekends ago, we had a bake sale for Safe Grad Night.
Is Safe Grad Night? So tell me about that.
So Safe Grad Night is the senior parents do this wonderful evening preparation for the graduating seniors. So, and then they go right after the graduation ceremony, and then they're there until the morning of.
Where do they go?
Well, that's a secret.
Oh, okay.
So every year it's a secret.
Oh.
So they don't know what they're doing.
Okay.
Only the people in the committee knows. And so, but it has like a bunch of activities, fun things for them to do. And that keeps them safe on that graduation night, you know? So they don't go out and drink and get into trouble or get into accidents.
Right.
So so it's wonderful. I was on the committee 2 years ago and Arta graduated. So this year Alara is graduating, and I'm not in the community this year, but I told them that I would help. So there was a bake sale, so I baked for the bake sale and I volunteer there. I try to get a bunch of people to support. So thank you so much for everyone who stopped at the table and supported and bought
Where did you have it?
It was right outside of Thriftway.
Mm-hmm. And did you do well with it? Did you raise some funds?
Yeah, we did. So it was good. There will be more. So there will, I don't know what other fundraising activities you're going to have, but it's a very expensive evening.
I'm sure it is.
So, and then we try not to charge to the families. Mm-hmm. So they, you know, the senior parents are trying to raise as much mm-hmm. as possible to cover mm-hmm. the expenses yeah. so that we, you know, it's like the tickets prices are as low
so
as possible.
What did you bake?
So I baked spinach feta puffs.
Mm.
I use puff pastry. I look at Truman's eyes. This has been becoming my favorite thing to do because it's so easy and it's so delicious. Mm-hmm. And Luch bought these puff pastry sheets from mm-hmm. From one of those restaurant supply. Mm-hmm. They used to be cash and carry,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
And so it's in a box. It comes in a really nice big sheet. And then I just put spinach and feta in it. And then I roll it, cut it, egg wash, and just bake it. Oh, it is so good.
Well, you know, anything with puff pastry. And spinach and feta is such a great match.
So
do you put
good.
Any herbs or spices in it at all?
Mm-mm.
I've put a little nutmeg in with that sometimes, and
oh,
that's
never
really
even
good.
Thought about yeah. that. Oh,
that's good. Mm-hmm. That sounds good. Did you bake anything else?
Not for the bake sale, mm-hmm. but then the following day, we hosted a high tea at my best friend and our grandma's new adult family home.
Mm.
And so I baked for that event. And I'll tell you all about it when we get
okay.
to that part.
Okay. But that sounds really
so
fun.
So I've baked a lot.
Oh, that sounds so nice.
More of puff pastry too.
Yeah. No, they're, you know, they're puff pastry, sweet, savory, anything.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anything
yeah.
with puff pastry is wonderful. You know, speaking of sweets
mm-hmm.
that we weren't.
Oh, we're always sweets.
I know.
Right,
I just
Truman?
Wanted to say one thing was, I don't know if you remember that I have talked incessantly about this Norwegian apple cake that I love so much.
Yes.
A brand new recipe to me this year. I've made it 6 times. I've shared it, you know, because people say, well, I want to try. You know, I've made it 6 times. I took a whole one somewhere and a half of one somewhere and had, you know, mm-hmm. that kind of thing. Because I had a ton of apples, as you
yeah.
know. So anyway, I posted the recipe and then people online were having a hard time finding it. So I got questions from listeners who said, please help me find this recipe again. And so I posted it again. I've never ever had such a response to a recipe of any kind other than that apple cake, which mm-hmm. is phenomenal. So if you still are having apples out there, look up the Stirring the Pot Facebook page.
Okay.
And it is on that page posted. It's all correct. And I did have to make a couple corrections. I left sugar out the first time. That didn't work very well.
So
it's all there right now. But anyway, it's just been really fun to realize that listeners are actually making things we talk about.
Yeah, that's wonderful.
And I'll just bet people will do the spinach feta puff mm-hmm. pastry thing too, mm-hmm. because it's so easy and
so
delicious. And you just make little bite-sized pieces of it.
Or a couple of bite-sized.
Couple?
I don't make them too small.
Okay.
So you make them rolls, and then when you cut the rolls about 1 inch wide and about 2 inches,
because
it's in the roll side.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's like a couple of bites.
Yum, perfect.
Yeah. It's finger food.
Yeah.
I have to tell you one quick thing.
Mm-hmm.
Many years ago, not that long ago, I went to Athens, Greece. Well, I went to actually several places in Greece. But anyway. Yes, we had dinner one evening, and it's this lovely place up on Lycabella Hill where you're out looking over the city. And they served a big slab of feta cheese.
Oh.
And this is in Greece, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I took one bite of that. I looked at my wife. I said, so we've been eating chalk all these years?
Oh, yes. Oh,
it is so different.
It's a different thing.
Yeah. Anyway, sorry.
And Linda knows I buy my feta cheese from the Turkish market that comes from Turkey.
And it's completely different.
And it is so different.
Yeah.
And as you tasted it as well, it's very, very different.
I bought some.
Yeah.
But for baking, I don't mind using the like store-bought feta. Yeah,
oh.
Because when you bake it with spinach and when you add other things, it's really not that big of a deal.
Well, it gets kind of creamy.
It's more the creamy factor.
Yeah. But if you, like we love to eat feta cheese for breakfast and for other things.
Yeah.
And, or you can always put it on top of salads too. But like when you're having feta just in your mouth, you want to have that good feta flavor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry. Thanks.
No.
I find that very interesting.
Yeah. Yes. No, it tastes very different. Same thing with olives, too.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. I'm sure I don't know if you're an olive fan, but.
Big time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. One of my coworkers brought olives from Greece this summer. And then, oh my God, it was just out of world. So
it's
good.
A different world, isn't
it?
Oh,
yeah. So good.
Yeah.
So good.
So nice. We were talking a minute ago about seasonal cooking and moving into soups and stews and things.
Yes.
I made a pot of green chili over the last weekend, I guess I did. And boy, you know, green chili, chile verde, this is a recipe that is developed in New Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
And they have using hatch green chilies, which really the only place they grow is in New Mexico. And they sell them here in the fall at Thriftway and at IGA. And they sell them fresh. They're lovely. Mm. They just got picked.
So good.
And if you're ever in New Mexico during the season when they're picking them and roasting them, every town, every valley, every desert, every mountain, it all smells like those beautiful green chilies. They're so good. So Tom Conway actually gave me some last year. And I froze them. And I decided I was going to make some green chili out of them when it got to be winter time, which I did. And, oh man, is it good. So it's a process. You can just look up a recipe. Just make sure that it uses tomatillos.
Mm.
So you peel the tomatillos and which are very sticky inside. They're real sticky and
are
gooey.
They? Mm-hmm. I never use tomatillos.
Oh, they're fun to use. So they just come with that papery stuff on the outside and you peel that away and then wash them. Get the sticky off, cut them in half, and put them on a roasting pan with parchment paper and roast them just like you do the chilies.
Mm-hmm.
And then, I don't know, maybe 20 minutes or so, depending, but I like them pretty charred.
Mm-hmm.
And then you use, in the olden days, of course, the ladies didn't use their blenders, but I do. They used a mocajete and the stone whole thing, you know, but that's too time consuming for me and really hard on my arms. So I put everything in the blender and you put the tomatillos and you put the green chilies and some onions and a little jalapeno and put that all in the blender and you make a big sauce like that. And then along with that, you have browned. I used a pork shoulder and cut it up into cubes and brown that really well and a whole pan full of browned onions, like a whole big skillet full of those.
Mm-hmm.
And then that onion does not go in the blender, nor does the pork. So you have this sluice kind of that you've made from the green chilies, et cetera. And you put it all together, a little bit of cumin, a lot of garlic. I like to roast the garlic when I'm roasting my tomatillos.
Mm.
And then you just let it simmer forever. Let it simmer very, very slow, like barely bubbling, just a little simmer.
Mm.
I think I probably did it for about 2 hours, and then I like to put it away overnight and take it out again and simmer it again the next day for about an hour.
Interesting.
Well, the flavors all really meld overnight.
Yeah.
You know, they really, you know, like stew is always better the second day.
That's true.
Soup is always better the second day, and so is green chili. So, I am a big proponent of green chili in the wintertime. It will warm your soul, and it's such a delightful, fresh, green taste from those chilies and the tomatillos. So
I've never made that, but it sounds so delicious.
It is delicious. And then along with that, homemade tortillas.
You made homemade tortillas?
Yeah. They're so easy. They're just so easy. It's a couple cups of flour and about a teaspoon, maybe a little bit more of salt, sea salt. I like to use sea salt.
Mm-hmm.
And then about a little under a cup, maybe it's 2/3 of a cup, a little bit under a cup. And he put the salt in that hot water, mm-hmm. and not scalding hot, just very, very warm, mm-hmm. just to the point where it's going to be too hot. Mm-hmm. And you make a salt water out of that. And then put your flour in a bowl, and then put your fat in the flour. Mm-hmm. And you can use butter or lard or shortening, whatever you have. I knew one woman who used cooking oil. She mm-hmm. made her tortillas with cooking oil. But you just want to get it in there and get it all mixed up. And then you add that really warm salt water mm-hmm. to it. And you've got to work it with your hands. It's stirring doesn't work. Mm-hmm. And so your hands get all sticky and, mm-hmm. you know, it's kind of fun. And then depending, you know, you might need to toss a little more flour in it, yeah. or add a little more drop of water or something, get the dough just right, put it on a floured board and knead it about 4 or 5 times. You don't knead it very much. And then make a ball, cover it, and let it sit for at least 15 minutes, if not an hour.
Okay.
And then what the Mexican women do is they sort of tear off a knob. They just tear off a knob of it, and then they pat it with their hands and make the tortilla. Mm. And they also roll it out with a rolling pin. Mm-hmm. So... And then you need I prefer a cast iron skillet. Mm-hmm. The Mexicans use what is called a comal, which is C-O-M-A-L, and it's a flat cast iron pan. It has no sides. Mm. And that's just for tortillas, corn or flour, and that's what they use. But I gave mine away several years ago because I thought, I'm tired of making those, you know, so, which probably was a mistake. But my cast iron skillet works just fine for that. So then when you put them on, medium skillet. You don't want your skillet too hot, and just let them cook. They bubble up. Mm-hmm. They'll bubble, and then the correct technique is you take a hand towel, your clean kitchen hand towel, and kill those bubbles, and then turn it over, and it'll bubble again, and you kill those bubbles.
Oh.
And then you look at it, and it's probably done.
Interesting.
And then to keep them warm when you don't have the fancy little basket, you just use another clean hand towel and fold mm-hmm. it just right so the tortillas fit in there and cover it up. And they stay nice and warm, and they are a perfect, perfect accompaniment to green chili.
Oh, I bet.
And they're just perfect. Mm-hmm. So that was a big endeavor. It takes time.
Yeah.
It's a labor of love. It's a lot of work.
Mm-hmm. And so what time is dinner?
Oh, sorry. The green chili's all gone.
Bummer.
We already ate it all.
I lived in West Texas until I was 11.
Oh, so you know all about
it. Trinidad Rodriguez used to make the hand-done tortillas.
Tortillas. There's nothing like them.
The best.
And they don't stick to the top of your mouth like store-bought ones do.
Mm-hmm.
And they're so, so good.
Yeah.
I love them. So, have you been doing any soup or stew?
Yes. Last weekend I made tomato soup. Mm. I used, I had canned tomatoes, so I used roasted canned tomatoes, and I put orzo pasta in it. I put
Orzo.
Yeah. And that's what we put in, that's how I learned. Mm-hmm. That's what my grandma always put orzo pasta in tomato soup.
Mm.
And then you leave the tomatoes a bit chunky.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like completely, like almost
it's
like,
not
it's
creamy,
not like
creamy.
A creamy, no.
Yeah.
No, so, and I made a huge batch. And then I shared with my neighbor.
Nice.
And yeah, with some bread. And I ate that for a couple of days. And
love that.
Lich and I ate that.
Does it have any, what else is in it?
So tomatoes, onions, Lich has been into fermentation lately.
Oh,
so we
yeah.
have fermented garlic. So we had, so I put chopped some fermented garlic in mm-hmm. there. Let's see, onion, garlic, and then tomato paste and tomatoes. And I also have this tomato powder that I got from one of the herb places, and so it just intensifies the tomato flavor. Mm. So I put that in there too, and then I put oregano. As you know,
I always
put oregano into everything.
Yeah.
And I think that was it. And then chicken broth.
Yeah.
I made up a chicken broth.
That sounds so good.
And then
good.
Lich made fresh bread, and it was just so good.
You know, homemade tomato soup is just so
yeah
So good.
Mm-hmm.
It's using canned tomatoes, I think, is a wonderful thing for tomato soup because they're so rich in flavor. They're so good. Mm-hmm. I've made it both ways, actually. I've made it with fresh tomatoes and done that whole thing. And there just is, I like the canned tomatoes for tomato soup much better.
Yeah. And then for today, as I'm hosting the soup night at Woman Hold the Key, I made two soups.
Oh, you did?
I got a little, I don't know what happened to me. But I made two soups. So one of them is called, I had this bag of lentil medley.
Mm-hmm.
So it had yellow lentils, red lentils, green lentils, and black lentils.
Okay.
All mixed up. And it was one of those in a grocery store, you know, like the bulk section. Mm-hmm. I found it there and I'm like, oh, this is interesting.
Yeah.
You know me, I like interesting things. And so I made that with vegetable broth.
Mm-hmm.
And then I put a little bit of rice in it.
Mm.
And so just let it cook very slowly.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's ready and it's vegan and gluten free version.
Yes.
And then the other one I made a garbanzo beans and last night I put bone marrows in my Instapot.
Mm-hmm.
So I cooked all night long. I have this so delicious bone marrow broth.
Yeah.
And so that's my meaty soup. And then it has onions, garlic, and garbanzo beans, and cubed meat.
Mm-hmm.
And I put a little bit of red wine when I was cooking the meat, so it kind of adds that lovely acidic flavor. And then I just put everything back together in the Instapot, so it's been like kind of simmering all morning. Mm-hmm. And I tasted it, just turned out pretty darn good, let me tell you.
Maybe I will come to soup night tonight.
I hope you will.
So tell us about soup night.
So soup night, you and I started last year.
We did. I haven't been in a while, and I'm
well,
ready
you've
to
been
go
busy.
Back.
Yeah. So, you don't have to cook to come. You can just come with a bowl.
Bring your own bowl.
Yeah. Or you're going to, I think there are bowls there now.
But they're
plastic. So like if you were really, I don't know. I love eating my soup in a porcelain bowl.
In the right bowl. Yes.
So I would say bring your bowl, the one that you like to eat your soup.
You know, there's nobody there to do the dishes but us.
I know,
so,
and I don't want to
bring your
own
bowl.
Yeah.
So tell us, what time does that start?
So it starts at 5 o'clock until 6:30, and then we just kind of finish up until the next class.
And is there a charge for it?
No.
Just come, and so it's women gathering around a bowl of soup.
A bowl of soup.
And I remember
talking about food, and I always say no agenda. I'm the host, and I don't want to have an agenda.
Right.
And I like tonight, I just want to talk about food and what people have been cooking and baking, just kind of like our show.
Well, you know,
joyful for me.
I met a lot of people that way.
I do
and
too.
You just find the conversations are spontaneous, people will say, oh, I've heard of you, or oh, yeah, I've heard your name. Yeah. I've seen you.
Yeah.
You know, and then a couple women whose names I had heard over and over and over, I'd never seen their faces.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I got to meet them, and we just talked about everything. You know, it was just kind of fun for a couple hours.
I messaged a couple of my friends to see if they could come, and two of them that I haven't seen for a couple of months now, they both are coming. So I'm
good.
So excited.
Oh, that'll be great.
So,
that'll be really good. Well, Celine, I'm really curious. You did something that I love, 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 and I can talk about forever.
I know. We were talking a lot on Sunday, too, weren't we?
But Celine hosted a high tea for her grandmother with her best friend. And tell us about that a little bit.
Yeah. So grandma had some health issues. So she's been in and out of hospital. So now she's in a new home. So we still thought we would celebrate her new, you know, new phase of her life with a high tea because she loves high tea.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then because, you know, it's kind of hard for her to get in and out. So my best friend said that, why don't we just bring the high tea to her new home? Mm-hmm. And so we were like, oh, that's a good idea. So that's what we did.
Mm-hmm.
And so the interesting part is I didn't have lots of the serving pieces, like the tiered plates and teapots. I mean, I had one or two, but that's about it.
Right.
So, that's
well, you're not a catering company after all.
No, I'm not. Although I do have beautiful teacups.
Yes, I know you do. You have Ainsley. I'm so jealous. They're so beautiful.
Ainsley.
Yeah, they're beautiful.
They're so beautiful. But, you know, just like we were talking about the community, I posted on Vashon Buy Nothing and I said, hey, could I borrow, like, does anybody have tiered plates or teapots that I can borrow for this high tea that I'm doing? And I got lots of response and it was so lovely. I got these beautiful pieces and I got to we got to use. Mm-hmm. You've seen the pictures.
So lovely.
They were so beautiful. And the teapots were the sweet gal who gave them to me. She said that I don't need them back. We used them at my wedding reception. It's been sitting in the garage. So enjoy it. So I think I'm going to keep it in case we do another high tea.
Well, you might. Because
they're
you
so
know,
beautiful.
Go into business. You can go into the high tea business.
Since you told me that you really love high tea, so maybe we'll do a high tea together.
Yeah. That would be fun.
Maybe in Vashon we'll do something fun.
That'd be really fun.
Hey.
So, what did you fix?
Oh, goodness. Let's see. I baked a lot.
Yeah.
I use puff pastry again.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And with the puff pastry, what I did this time is I got plain goat cheese.
Mm-hmm.
I put a big chunk of goat cheese in a little square. I cut the puff pastries into little squares. Put the goat cheese on top and I put like three blueberries in it. And then I close the puff pastry like a pouch on top, egg washed it, and then baked them like that. Oh my God. And then as they kind of baked and opened up a little bit, and then you can actually see the blueberries.
Ooh.
Oh, it just looked and tasted incredible.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing that I made with the puff pastry is I cut small squares of puff pastry again, and I put chestnut puree. I don't know if you remember, I bought this chestnut puree online, and I've been like so addicted to it because it's
so
not
good.
Too sweet and it's just so delicious.
It's so good.
And so I put that on. It's like kind of slather a big chunk of that chestnut puree and then pinch the corners and then just bake that like that. And it was so good too.
Yeah.
Let's see. I made the spinach feta börek. So I didn't use puff pastry, but I used yufka, which is a Turkish phyllo sheet.
It's like phyllo dough.
It's almost like phyllo dough, but it's thicker.
Yeah.
It's usually, you usually buy that to make börek.
Okay.
It's just to make easy, quick börek.
Yeah.
And grandma loves that. Mm-hmm. So I made that for her. And so tons of spinach in it and feta cheese. It was so yummy. And then I put my Nigella seeds on top.
Of course
you
did.
Know me.
For anyone who doesn't know, Celine is a big fan of Nigella seeds.
And oregano. And oregano.
And oregano. Yes,
those two.
For sure. Yeah. So,
wait, before you go on, could you talk a bit more about the chestnut puree? I'm really curious about that.
Yeah.
Do you buy it online? Or?
Yeah, I actually bought it online and I can share it. It's called, it's a French delicacy.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it comes from France when you order it online. And it's literally, it's Clement Chestnut Puree. That's the brand name, Clement.
Okay.
And it's so simple. It's on a squeezable thing or...
Perfect.
Oh, I mean, I had
and
it
they,
over
the French,
toast.
Yeah, the French use it in all kinds of pastries. And it's
they
just,
do it
it's
on crepes.
So good.
Yeah.
Okay, I got to look it up.
Yeah.
Now I'm hooked.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay,
oh, yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. If you love chestnut, you will love it, Truman.
Mm-hmm.
I love chestnuts.
I do too.
Any type.
Yeah.
And I put roasted chestnut into my... stuffing for Thanksgiving,
too. Yeah, I was just going to say stuffing. That's the best.
It's so good.
Yeah. I love it, too.
Okay.
I love it, too.
I'm ready now.
Yeah, I know, right?
I should have eaten before I came to the studio.
Uh-oh. Now you're hungry, aren't you, Linda?
Well, you know, high tea has a really interesting history in that.
Yeah? I was just going to tell you, because you said that you knew some of the history of the high tea.
Well, a little bit. I mean,
yeah.
I'm certainly not a scholar, but it really did. The tea has been around forever, you know, thousands and thousands of years, but it took a long time for it to get to England. It did arrive in England in the 1600s by the Catherine de Braganza, who was a royalty from Portugal, and she brought tea in the 1600s, but they just drank it. It wasn't, you know, and it was very, very expensive. So it was only the upper echelon of people that could afford it. But then in the 1840s, one of Queen Victoria's ladies in waiting introduced the concept of afternoon high tea to Victoria. And the reason that that happened was that Victoria got kind of noshy about 4 o'clock in the afternoon, you know, like between that 3 and 6 time where you're just there, it's too late for lunch and it's too early for dinner, but I'm kind of hungry. And so she asked her, one of her ladies in waiting, to bring her a cup of tea, a slice of bread, and a piece of cake. And that was what we call the first high tea, because it was for royalty, of course. So then, it kind of took on a life of its own, and she started inviting some ladies in waiting, and then she started inviting some friends, and then, you know, the cooks started thinking along different lines about how we can do that, and so it became a really fashionable social event in the 1880s in the upper class, and of course anything the queen does, the people want to do as well. It was mostly, let me see. The other thing that confused me for a long time, and it probably still does, is that in England and Australia, I know, some people still refer to dinner as tea. What are we having for tea? And when I knew someone from Australia, he said to me, what are we having for tea? And I said, well, it's too late for tea, you know, and he meant dinner. And so how that happened was that the working class was able to come home and enjoy tea. They didn't have high tea, but they could come home and enjoy tea at 5 o'clock because the industrialization of England started about that same time and people were getting home later or earlier, depending on your schedule.
Uh-huh.
And they needed something in that in-between time. And so tea became dinner.
Oh, interesting.
Which I found fascinating. And and some people still refer to dinner as tea.
Oh.
So, and in many cases, that tea, quote unquote, was the biggest, best meal of the day for the working class. And then a little snippet is that high tea also refers to the height of the table. Because if you're in a casual setting, you're going to have your tea maybe like on a coffee table, and maybe it's just a tea and a scone or tea and a biscuit or something, you know? Well, if you're having high tea, you're sitting at the table that is much higher with real chairs, you know?
Oh, so, interesting.
Yeah, I thought that was really interesting. And then I just learned this today, actually, when I was doing a little looking around, is that I was thinking about tariffs and I was thinking about that kind of stuff. Anyway, in the initial imports of tea, of course, were really costly, heavily taxed at 119%.
Ooh.
Whatever that is. And then by the 18th century, it had become so popular that the people rose up against the government.
Oh.
And the government lowered the tariff tax, whatever you want to call it, to 12.5%. Hmm. So everybody could afford it.
Okay.
And then on a side note, there's also a thing called elevenses. Do you know about the elevenses?
Mm-mm, no.
Well, I learned about elevenses when I was reading The Hobbit, because the hobbits have the elevenses.
Okay.
And what it is it's about 10 o'clock in the morning, and that's their elevenses. It's between breakfast and lunch. So there's two times to have a break.
Uh-huh.
You know, you can have your high tea in the afternoon, you can have your elevenses in the morning, but that's how our custom of breaking for a cup of coffee about 10 o'clock in the corporate world started, you know.
Oh, that's interesting.
I know.
Isn't that also referred to as second breakfast in The Hobbit?
Yeah. It's a second breakfast. It's elevenses, second breakfast. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
With their little hairy feet. Yeah, so, you know, I love it that you're enjoying high tea and that grandma liked high tea.
Yeah.
My grandmother was Canadian. One of my grandmothers was Canadian, and she always had tea in the afternoon. And mm-hmm. I pretty much adopted that. I never have high tea unless I'm ready to fuss, you know. But so did you make some sandwiches for your tea?
So my best friend Crystal made some cucumber sandwiches.
Of course.
Of course. And then she also made chicken salad sandwiches. And then she made tomato mozzarella skewers.
Mm.
And of course we had some scones and mini beignets that she mm-hmm. bought. And we had clotted cream and lemon curd.
Oh, she did get the clotted cream.
Yeah, you have to, right? Right. You can't have a high tea without clotted cream and lemon curd.
I know.
Even if the scones were sweet, we're like, oh, we're still going to put it on just for fun of it. Right. And so one thing that I made, Linda, sometimes we got to stick to the classic recipes.
Oh, yeah.
And not get too creative. So I made deviled eggs. And I got a little too creative and I put chopped capers in it. Well, it was not popular. Let me tell you, I had all of those eggs almost brought back home.
Oh, that's awful. I can't imagine.
People just didn't like it.
What'd you do?
Do what?
Like, why was it so bad? Did you already say that?
Yeah,
I'm sorry. Capers.
I put chopped capers in the in the yellow.
I can't imagine that's bad.
Well, I guess if you don't like caper flavor, it's probably not a good thing for you.
I guess. I just can't imagine.
I think that was the...
Capers strike me as cilantro. Cilantro is...
I
kind of had to develop a taste for cilantro.
Yeah.
And I kind of feel the same way about capers.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but
no. I don't know.
Aren't there different sizes of caper? I mean, don't you?
Yeah,
they are. And then what I did, I just kind of buzzed it in my little food chopper, so it wasn't like big pieces. Mm-hmm. Maybe that just added even more flavor.
It probably did.
I think that's what it really did, like overpowered the deviled eggs. And I realized it wasn't the best deviled eggs. And I'm like, okay, I should have just stick to the classic recipe.
Well, you know, I have done that actually with deviled eggs, but only I haven't put them in it. I sprinkled like 3 or 4 little capers on top of
that
it.
That would have been
a smarter
choice.
But I wasn't really thinking about flavor. I was thinking about I wanted them to look better.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But I always equate, and maybe I don't have a sophisticated enough palate, but I always equate the caper in sort of the same family as dill pickles and kind of thing.
That's why
know?
I thought it would kind of go.
I know.
That was my thought process.
Right.
But the more I'm thinking, even people who love dill pickle, they will hate capers.
Did your family eat them?
Mm-mm.
No.
No.
I can't believe that.
Even Illich, who usually never likes... turns food.
Illich likes everything.
Illich likes everything. And he goes like, and he was so sweet. He goes like, well, this is not your best deviled eggs.
Oh.
And then he had a couple of them because he loves deviled eggs.
He had a couple,
but he's like, it's not your best one, honey. Like, thanks, honey. Well, that was sweet to say.
So there
instead
we
of
have
it sucked.
Testament, as you said, for sticking to the classics.
Yeah. Yeah. It really was. I know that from now on and deviled eggs. To the...
At least with deviled eggs. Deviled
yes.
eggs. We can experiment
yes.
some other things.
Maybe. Oh, I always do.
I know.
But I'm going to stick to the classic
you
on
know,
the deviled eggs.
You know, that's funny when people talk about food and you sort of have an expectation.
Yeah.
Around
yeah.
how your mouth is going to feel, what your yeah. taste is going to mm-hmm. say.
Absolutely.
I hadn't really thought about that with regard to deviled eggs. I find it fascinating. I'm really, now I want to make some and do them like you did and see how bad they really are. Because I can't imagine that they're bad. Did well, you like them?
I'm not a huge deviled egg fan.
Well, you're not an egg.
Especially nowadays. Even, I don't know what it is. In the okay. past couple of months, I can't smell, I can't look, and I can't taste eggs.
It's, are you pregnant?
No, I can't be. And I don't know what it is. It's oh. so bizarre. I can't even watch videos that they like
interesting.
I don't know what it is. It's like all of a sudden things kind of turned with me. And mm-hmm. so even making it was like, oh, I'm not really enjoying making this, but I wanted to make it yeah, because well, my sure. best friend really loves. And I was so sad that she had it and yeah. she ate it and she goes like, and then she was so sweet. She goes, I think you use different seasoning in these. That's how she said it. It
seasoning.
Was, I love her. Yeah. I love my Crystal.
She's being very delicate.
Yes.
She
yes.
didn't want to hurt your feelings.
No, she's so sweet. Yeah. And but, you know, when Crystal doesn't eat multiple deviled eggs, she didn't like them. So I knew that. She only had one.
I knew a guy one time who would go to a party if there were deviled eggs and just station himself.
Oh my God.
Beside the deviled eggs.
Really?
Oh, I bet he ate six or oh. eight. I mean, he just like pound them in yeah. his mouth.
Oh, that's
love, it. Love, love, love mm. them. I, you know, I can eat more than one,
mm-hmm.
but after three, yeah. that's enough.
Yeah.
Do you add a little mustard? A little?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. A little bit of mustard and yeah. some paprika.
Yeah. Yeah.
What kind of mustard do you use?
I just use French's yellow because it's traditional.
You know, I think that's another thing. I had a very interesting mustard in the house.
That's what it was. It wasn't the capers.
So I had a German mustard, I think.
Oh yeah, no.
It was a little bit more
No.
Maybe that was another reason. Yeah. The more I'm thinking is like, I think I had more than just capers that made that deviled egg.
I think so too. Now yeah. we're getting true confessions because we gotta have a talk about mustard.
I know. Yeah. Sometimes we just need that yellow mustard.
Sometimes
right?
we do. Yeah. We need that yellow mustard. I need that yellow mustard on a hot dog. Yeah. I don't want a fancy mustard on my hot dog.
True, true. I agree with you on that.
I don't. Yeah. I want it in my egg salad. I want it in my potato salad.
Well, German mustard is really hot. I mean, it's very spicy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when I first went to Germany, I had the bratwurst, bratwurst mm-hmm. in the big mm-hmm. roll. And you put a little bit of mm-hmm. simp on there and they would just put a little bit.
Yeah.
Because if you put a lot, you would blow your head off.
Yeah. Well, you clean your sinuses out for sure.
Baby,
that's for sure.
Yeah, indeed.
Yeah. It's akin to wasabi. It's as strong as wasabi is, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. Some German mustards are that way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And which I do. And then there's a Chinese mustard that way too.
Yes.
Have you tried that one?
Oh, boy. Yeah. That will get you.
We love that one.
And I love mustard. And I love all of those. But they all have a place.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And deviled eggs is not it.
That's right.
I'm so glad we figured that out.
Yeah. I learned that really hard. Way.
I really was having trouble with, I was having a lot of trouble with the mate blaming the capers.
But you see, when I was eating it, the only flavor I was getting that was overpowering was the capers though.
Really?
Like the mustard didn't bother me that much, but
you knew it was there. And maybe somebody who doesn't know it's there is going to taste it as a seasoning.
Maybe. Yeah.
I mean, because it is kind of a seasoning.
Yeah. And I never told Crystal there were capers in there. Sorry,
she'll
love.
Know now. Hi, Crystal.
Sorry,
did
honey.
You learn anything today?
She's probably laughing.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like it was wonderful. Tell me, so grandma lives in adult living now, like an adult home.
It's in a little
so
adult
she has several other people who live there.
So far, she only has one housemate.
Oh,
but
okay.
There's a potential that there would be more. But I think she can have like up to three or four more.
And so you,
but right now, she has only one.
You invited.
Yes. Yes.
And the manager, maybe, or
The caregiver.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a sweet lady from. She said that she's from Gambia.
Okay,
Gambia,
Gambia.
West Africa,
mm-hmm.
and so she never had a high tea.
Oh, and what did she think?
Oh, she thought it was very different and very good. And I asked her, and I said, "So, what do you do in Gambia with women kind of gathering? Because, you know, the high tea is one of those things that, you know, women kind, usually women kind of gather and then they enjoy tea. And then she said, oh, we do gather, but what we do is all the women kind of gather together and we drum and dance. We drum and dance.
Oh.
I'm like, oh, that sounds so much fun.
Yeah. Did she have anything to say about their food? Did you talk about that at all?
No, she didn't say anything about the food. She just attended for a little short period of time. And then she said that she was going to leave. And because we were all there and she wanted to kind of leave us, which we told her she could stay. And she goes like, no, I'm good. And, you know, she was so sweet. Yeah. And then grandma's housemate, Joy, she never had a high tea before. And then her daughter was there too, who didn't have a high tea before. So, and then our friend Cindy was there, and my daughter, my sweet daughter, she even put a fancy hat on.
Did she?
Yes, it was so cute. So cute. Alara loves high tea with us. Well, Crystal was the one who introduced high tea to us. We went to a high tea together. So Alara really loves that too. It's our little girly thing to do. So we had so much fun. It was a lovely, lovely afternoon.
You know, and part of it is the gift to grandma. And how much you were able to give through the food and through the sitting and, and the communing that happens around a table like that.
It just made me...
I love it that you did that. That's wonderful.
Like, my heart was so full of joy.
I'm sure.
When I left, they were all laughing and smiling and we had fun conversations. And then as far as the teas are concerned, we had like four or five different teas.
What kind of tea did you have?
So I wanted to, because they're going to say that, well, high tea, they never talked about the tea.
Yeah.
So we had Earl Grey tea. I know you're not a big fan.
Which you know
of,
I'm not a big fan
of. Yeah. I love Earl Grey tea.
I'm glad you do.
So, and then I actually buy this Earl Grey tea from Winco. In their bulk section. But it, you would completely hate it because it has a very heavy bergamot flavor. So it's a very strong Earl Grey. I absolutely love it. It's so good.
You know, that again is a cilantro thing, I think.
Yes. Yes.
It really is.
There's a lot of people who don't like that.
And I want a good, strong English breakfast.
Black tea. Yeah.
Clean tea.
Yeah. And then we had, did you have something? Oh.
I was just going to say, did you watch Ted Lasso when it was on?
I never did watch Ted Lasso.
He talked about it being dirty water.
Bergamot tea?
Dirty water. Tea, tea was dirty water.
Oh, in general.
In general, he did not like it.
Oh, that's funny.
Some people don't.
Some people don't,
But the favorite tea that night was the tea that I bought from Hawaii. It was Royal Green Butterfly Pea Flower Tea. You brew it, and it's really like kind of a...
Do you mean when you're saying pea flower, are you saying P-F-L-O-W-E-R?
Yeah.
Like the flower from a sweet pea?
Yeah.
Like a pea or a pea? Okay. Got it. I've never heard of it.
Yeah. So it changes color when you squeeze a lemon or lime. It turns purple, like lavender purple. Have you ever seen purple gin?
Yes.
So it's the same pea butterfly pea flower that they use.
Okay.
So this tea that I got has that, and it has rose petals in there too. So it's when you squeeze lemon or lime in it, it turns this beautiful purple color.
What color is it before you squeeze the lemon?
It's like almost like a darker green tea color, almost like maybe a little bit of a dark purple tint to it. But then as soon as you drop that lemon juice, it turns this purple. And the flavor was incredible. I really, really enjoyed it.
Can you describe the flavor?
It had like sweet flower taste. So it didn't feel like I was drinking tea.
Obviously it's a decaffeinated. It wouldn't have caffeine in it.
It had green tea in it.
Oh, it had green tea.
Yeah.
Oh, the green tea was the base. Okay.
So yes, actually, I didn't write it down what was in it. Cause it had sencha, mamaki. I'm just going from my memory. Green tea, rose petals, and butterfly pea flower.
Wow.
I don't know if there was anything else in that mix. And it was,
I know a couple people who are going to Hawaii in December, and I'm going to make a request.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yes. It's very interesting. And we got this from a tea shop. Mm-hmm. And I'll send you to like a little picture and you can tell your friends and say, I want that.
I want that piece. Bring this to me for Christmas. Yeah.
There you go. Yeah. It's very, very lovely. It's very, very lovely.
Well, Celine, that's just marvelous. I love the whole story and all the wonderful things that you did and said and felt. And I'm sure the ladies were happy.
Oh, they were so happy. Mm-hmm. And we were just silly with our like fancy hats and everything.
Did everybody wear a hat?
Not everybody, but Alara, Crystal, and Grandma. I didn't have a hat, but what I did was I found this beautiful silk scarf mm-hmm. at Granny's. Mm-hmm. It had like big bright lemons on it.
Oh.
So I put it on my head.
Oh.
And then I wore this very flowery like summer dress.
Oh, how fun.
And then I was just being silly. Grandma's like, Celine's in the house.
Oh, Celine's in the house. So if you were to give somebody advice, like let's say somebody's never done a high tea or mm-hmm. hosted one, do you have any advice for people if they're planning one for themselves?
I would say definitely do it. It's so much fun.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't have to be as fancy as we did. Mm-hmm. You can even do it as simple as cucumber mm-hmm. sandwiches and scones, clotted mm-hmm. cream and lemon curd. Even that would just make it. Like that would be your startup.
It's if you look at Queen Victoria.
Yeah.
Hers
yeah.
was a slice of bread with butter yeah. and a piece
yeah.
of cake
yeah.
and the
yeah.
tea.
And every culture has their own different mm-hmm. teas. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I mentioned it to you about in Turkey, they have tea too.
Mm-hmm.
And the food is completely different.
Oh, I'm sure.
And then the tea.
And you drink it out of tea glasses.
Yes, Turkish tea glasses instead of these fancy teacups. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you can just go, like, if you enjoy tea, you can make this as a fun event.
Yeah.
And then, you know, we have lovely grannies here. You can buy those fancy cups for a couple of bucks.
If even. Some of them are 50 cents.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, yeah, you can start doing that. Or there's a dish closet, I believe, like Zero Waste.
Oh, yeah, there is.
Zero Waste have that. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if they have teacups. Somebody told me, have you checked in those? I'm like, but after I find it, figured it out what I needed to, I mm-hmm. had it. Mm-hmm. I didn't even check in there. But I heard that people, you know, utilize
that. I've used
that.
Them before. Yeah. For a big dinner.
Yeah.
You don't have enough plates and enough glasses for a big dinner.
So,
not at my house, but one that I was helping with.
Yeah.
Well, I just think also beyond what you serve, anything you serve is fine.
Absolutely.
Anything is fine.
Absolutely.
And then you have to have the people.
Yeah. Yeah.
And just set a pretty table, and it uh-huh. doesn't have to be fancy.
No.
And I think...
Just
I do
have a conversation.
Think, though, I do think you need the teacups.
I think so too. I think so too.
I was talking with my friend Kate O'Kane
mm-hmm.
when it was a couple years ago. We were talking about tea, and I was serving her tea. Actually, she's from England.
Yeah, well, she came to our show.
Oh, I remember. And we were talking about that, and she said, "Oh, my mother would be appalled, Linda. There's no saucer." And I just thought, I know. But the teacup was China, you know. But then I think back about my grandmother, and she always had her saucer and her.
Mm-hmm.
And some people even pour the tea in the saucer and drink from the saucer, which was verboten in my house when I was a kid. We could, that's really bad manners. And all that slurping.
Right.
You know, no slurping. But I think we should have a little brainstorming session off radio.
Yeah.
And talk about how we might have a community high
tea.
That
would be fun.
I think it'd be really fun.
I would love that. I would love that. Yeah.
I would too.
And if you're interested, let us know on our Facebook page.
Yes, please look up our Facebook page, Stirring the Pot. It's wide open.
Yeah.
We're having a few glitches with it right now. Facebook in general is having some glitches.
Mm-hmm.
As you know, I'm a big Facebook fan. My friends are all like, oh, Linda and Facebook, you know, but I really am. I get a lot out of it.
Yeah.
And there's some glitches in it right now. We're having some in particular with the Stirring the Pot page, but we're working on getting that fixed.
Yeah.
You can comment on there, though.
Yeah, you can definitely.
Yes, you can come in and comment on it.
And so, you can let us know if you, if you're one of our friends, and yes. If you want to let us know, and please do, because
we'll put you to work.
Yeah. I mean, this would be fun.
It would be
I'm
really
so
fun.
Excited.
And I, well, you know, we're out of time.
Oh,
we're
we
just
are
almost
already?
Out of time. Yep.
Oh,
we
my
are.
Goodness.
And we got about four more subjects we were going to talk about, but that's okay.
Hey, that's okay.
That's okay. Truman, thank you so much for your
thank
help today
you,
in Heidi's absence. We missed Heidi
sure,
too,
sure.
But thank you. It's
You're
wonderful
more
to have
than
you.
Welcome. I thoroughly enjoy your show.
It's always wonderful to have you.
Thank you.
And Celine, I so enjoyed all your stories. It was great fun. It was really
thank
fun.
You,
thank you.
And thanks for sharing those wonderful recipes, Linda.
Oh, you're welcome.
I just love it. I learn from you every time we have a conversation.
It's a wonderful thing to do,
yeah.
This cooking thing.
Yes.
And thank you to all of our listeners. Let us know you're there. Stop by our Facebook page and let us know you're there.
Yeah.
All right. We'll see you in a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye-bye.